dedim, dedim ya dedi. Hoş diyecek on romantik indik size. Moving, I wasn't big enough for us all to move in over there. But we had several places where we lived in the same house together, you know.
Are you in the Lasseter?
Huh?
You in the Lasseter?
The Lasseter family.
Uh-huh.
We lived in several places where we lived in the same house together. And him being a woodsman in the woods to blaze the trees for the choppers to cut. Well, he got poppers one of his hands out there, and when you run the log train, he got poppers as his fireman on the log train. And then when he got his blacksmith shop, Pop had to get and the striker, as they call him, one that when he taking the hot irons out of the fire, Popper was right there ready to. So, in all of it together, we just got so thick and lived so close together so long and so many years, in and out of one house and into another together, we just like one family. Really get along and better than you do your own family.
Yeah, that's nice.
And Papa come out on the back porch from work and Mr. Lasseter. I said something today, Mr. Lasseter, and just said, I said, I never thought about it. He says, what? I said, I'm going to tell you, I'm sitting down here and I seen a black dog go through that crack in that fence. He says, all gone. He says, Papa said, maybe it was Minnie. I says, no, sir. I says, Minnie couldn't have gone through that. I says, but it was so long ago.
Now, that was way down in the country. You never saw anything like that up here.
That was up in Georgia.
Oh, there's Georgia.
And when I told him I'd seen it, he kind of pinched me on the shoulder. I says, nah, all of that was just a dog going through the crack before I told him anything. Papa says, so you let the rat out there, get it. That's the reason that Lasseter wanted to move.
Now, but that was up here where Henry Mixon was.
Oh, yeah.
When you all were going past that old house there in front of where Lawrence lived. Over there,
but
too.
But we never did have the pleasure of the dog jumping up in the wagon with us.
It never happened to you.
No, so we kept watching. Watching, I would, because we had horses, you know, horses can see things that you don't see.
Oh, yes.
Frank kind of had it. Every time we go that way, going or coming, if it was late going up there, late coming back from the, he dropped them lines around his hand. So if the horse made a dash, he'd put him down and check it.
And that was up to Henry Mixon.
Mm-hmm. Right back up the side of the shallow church.
Yeah.
Back up past Lawrence's. Well, it was back out. Lawrence's mother and all lived here next to the road. And Mr. Henry, he lived back over there, him and Miss Henry's recalled. And the boys got the lightning going on there. Telling something. Mr. Henry says, is it so about you riding along down in front of that old light in the place up down the road up above the spring? That a dog would jump in your wagon or your buggy? And he's hard of hearing. Miss Jenny, she got up there and she talked to him. Says, they want to know, is it so? That's when you pass by the old so-and-so house up down the hill, the dog jumped in the buggy or the wagon. It never did with me, but that's what they say. So after that, we'd be up there late at night, moonlight nights, or dark night. That's for so many cars coming through. You know?
And that would make the it exciting for your children to come along there.
Boy, we'd hear them scuffling there, sitting with the feet hanging out the back. you know, and Margaret and Annie would be back up in the upper part, and then Frank's dip on the seat.
Yeah.
Sometimes Annie, she'd crawl up and get in between me and Frank.
Yeah.
And she was getting sleepy anyway. But,
Now, Henry.
Them kids would all go scooching and scrambling, getting back up just as close to the seat. I said, what are you kids doing? Making room for the dog to jump in back there? Martin said, you know, says, I didn't talk about that.
And Henry was hard of hearing.
He said, hard of hearing. He had to get right up there, right in his face, and yell in his ears. But he told Miss Jean, he said, Jenna, he said, why don't you talk? Why don't you talk like Miss Jenny? She says, huh? Says, well, she don't have to get in the air and crumple around and yell like you're ringing a bell or bull bellowing. Says, I watch her mouth. Says, and I understand pretty near everything she says.
Yeah.
Say, you go, whippity, 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 whippity. And she would, she go, oh, her mouth, and she's keen talking, you know.
Oh.
And she'd grab him by the ankle, my God, Gina.
Yes. you just hate to be deaf.
And, my God, are you up in there with your feet trumping around and yelling? Says, I don't know what you're saying. And I wish you'd run and talk like Miss Jitty. Says, well, I never see her up there talking to you. Says, well, says, she gets close enough. Something I was going to want to know. She explains to me, says, now watch her lips. And, of course, I'd make gestures about some things, you know. That's the way you ought to talk to a deaf person. She said, when you're so deaf, you can't hear no how.
Why not? That?
And there's another thing, though, he could understand pretty well. If he was aggravating her, teasing her about something, and she wanted something he didn't want to do, you know. And I'm good, man, get a... Get away from me before I knock the hound out of you. Knock a hound out of you. So you know, so she says she's going to take the axe handle out of me. Huh? Don't say knock a hound. Knock an axe out of me.
No, I never heard that, Richard.
Well, that's what he'd say.
Yeah.
But she says you're going to knock a hound out of me. And she said, you too. What was she said? Too stupid or too... Oh, you're too stingy to let a hound roost up there, much less live. How'd she bring you? And we'd all like, he'd say, yeah, that's some of Gina's hound talking.
So they had a time.
And so saying they had a parrot and monkey time.
Oh, parrot and monkey.
And they had adopted a little girl down at Ocala. Her name was Marguerite. And my Margaret. So they had to continue calling her Marguerite. And my Margaret, you know. Margaret says she heard Mr. Henry and Miss Gina just going on. So Marguerite says, Margaret says, I just hate for him going that way when anybody around. Says, he can't hear her. Says, and tell you the truth, says, Mama don't. She learned to call her Mama, you know, but she was a good child. She knew it wasn't her mother. And she says, I get so provoked with both of them sometimes. I feel like if I wasn't scary like I am, I'd run away and go to y'all's house. Says, but that dog might beat me. But you know, in the late years, after they took that old house away, and Lawrence built his house up on the hill up from, Lawrence is up here on the hill, right? Well, this house down the find it here, right? But it was close to the road. Had picket fence around. There's something said about getting some flower cuttings. Oh, you pass down in the spring, it'd be the prettiest flowers growing, you know, that hadn't been tended to or anything, but they just come up volunteer from the seed. I said, I'd sure like to have some of them flowers, but I'm afraid something would get me before I got home with them. Martin said, Mama, don't care none of them home.
Well, now, did Lawrence know anything about all that?
I guess he did. It's his granddaddy's place, land.
His daddy.
And his granddaddy.
Oh.
I don't know, they say the Lightners used to own all that land back in there.
They still, Lawrence still has a whole lot back there, don't he?
Whole lot of them do.
Nice land, a lot of timber on it. I went back there one time with Jake, look at some cows. Well, I don't think of
GP's got him a fish pond built on the right-hand side across from his house, you know?
Yeah.
Or it will be George's, I reckon.
I don't think of Lawrence being, I think of him going around trading and things like that. I don't think of him.
Well, now, I don't think his daddy was quite as big a cheater as he is.
He didn't learn that from his daddy?
Oh, no. The only way he got it from his daddy or his mama's side.
Oh, he could have got it from both sides?
Neither. Oh, what I said, cheat. Now, I don't know. He will cheat you in a way. You can get him to hold the cows. And he'll... Or he used to be. Now, he might have changed in the late years, but you get him to haul cows for you. He wants to charge you way yonder too much. He charges you so much a head, you know.
Yeah.
He always wants to haul them to Gainesville, or Frankie's head cows carried to Gainesville. But Frankie always gets better results from the cattle place down in O'Cal.
Yeah.
Mills Brothers.
Mills
Auction Place, I guess. I don't know if he's got anybody. Now he may have some sons in it.
But Mills, but Lawrence said rather, he'd rather take him to Gainesville.
And really close to from our house to Kellis's market and just my house to Gainesville.
Yeah, and you don't have to go through all that traffic. You can cut out of that traffic.
And Frank, you always do get better doings down there than you.
Mm-hmm.
Better prices.
Is that the way they do just...
Well, it goes in.
They charge you by the head, and
I reckon, Mr. Miles, I don't know.
That raises the cost a little bit.
Okay. I think he charges by the load. No, it's about the one I have, but he don't charge Frank as much as his daddy would.
Who is that, Jake then?
Jake don't charge him as much as Lawrence would charge him. I want to charge him. And Jake tells him he'll care him for a certain surprise. I feel good, but I think Clarksville school lived it up on.
Lions used to trade right smart. He'd pick up machinery and stuff like that. But I never had any occasion to buy from him.
Well, me, the whole time buying from him and Jake, they're going together now and buy it and get it paid for. That's all Lions is. He don't give Jake no showing to what they've done, what to do. Jake will go out there and do a piece of work. I reckon Lawrence probably gets paid for his machine now. He gets paid for his boying.
Yeah. Well, now, Lawrence has lived there a good long while, hasn't he? Mm-hmm. That you all have known him for a long time. Well, now, but...
We knew his parents before he ever come along. Him and Margaret's the same age.
I keep forgetting that. He and Margaret's the same age.
Lawrence and... what was that Gladney boy's name? He's dead.
But he was brought up in that house, old house across the street that you were talking about.
I was brought up there at his daddy's house, old man Jake's house.
Across the road.
From up above the church.
Oh, is that where old man Jake was?
You know, a big brick building here. That one, I don't know which one of our son-in-laws. I know it can't be a son because Lawrence was the only son he had. And Jake and Ed's the only two grandsons he had that would be called Lightners. Because he didn't have but one son named after the Lightner.
Yeah.
This is Lawrence and J.C. Mixon. He's dead too now.
Well, Lawrence and Willie grew up together then. They ever worked together or anything?
They all went to school together and they. I guess they worked together.
Went to school together. Yeah.
I don't know just what month Lawrence's birthday is, but. And G.P. Lightner's sister.
Oh.
She's the same year that Margaret was born. And I have a great Senator Edwards.
Was he about the same?
He was born in June before she was born in July.
Is that right? Is that right? Well,
and,
you all knew old man Edwards then.
Yes, he married Uncle Martin's granddaughter.
Oh, really? Now, you're not talking about L.K.
L.K.'s father.
His father, yeah.
Senior, married Annie Mixon and Drew. Annie Mathis and Joe Mathis. His daughter, Inez.
Yeah.
And they had two children. L.K., he growed up a great, big, strong, huffy, husky young fella, finished the school. Man, I reckon got all he could get up here at the university.
But he went to school at Reddick. Where the rest of them went?
I don't know where L.K. went to school at Reddick. No, he might have gone. No, he went. Let's see. Reddick McIntosh.
Well, maybe he went to.
Now, which one did he go to? Reddick or McIntosh? I don't know.
Well, where did your boys go?
Mine went to Fairfield and Reddick.
Oh.
Margaret, Willie, Martin.
Yeah.
Frankie. No, mine didn't get his start in Fairfield, I don't think. But Margaret, the school that Margaret went to, and Willie and Martin, was like you're going out the main street of Fairfield, right on out into the road.
Yeah.
Goes from my house to Ocala. Well, here was a big field back, and of course they fenced it round, you know. Here was an old-fashioned one story, one room schoolhouse.
Oh.
And that's where Margaret, Willie, and Martin got their start to school in Fairfield. Then they built a big, nice brick building down there, right open. I don't know how far to say, but anyway, far enough off from the old school. And there's where they, I think, I don't know where mine would start again there. The last year, the rest of them was going to school before they consolidated the schools, you know, over to Reddick. And there's where they finished up what riddle they got.
Well, now, L.K. never, did he hang around over at your house?
Mm-hmm.
Lawrence?
No, a lot of these young people you hear me speak of, they never did come around my house, Indian. But the boys, you know, being in school with some of them now, I think Jesse Mixon went to. Oh, Lawrence and Jesse and all them, they got theirs back up there in the schoolhouse, that close to the Methodist Church. They call it the community house up there now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they, rest of the light has all got the school now. But GP and his sister, I think, finally finished up. No, all lightness didn't get all the education there either. But they went as far as could.
Mm-hmm.
And then they consolidated that school then, I think, with Makinopee School, because Makinopee built up a big two-story school building.
Yeah, GP, Margaret's age?
No, his sister.
Huh?
His sister. Louise Brown, she is. I don't think she's married since her husband died.
Is GP younger?
Mm-hmm.
Older?
He's older. But I think about 2-3 years older than Margaret.
Well, now, where was GP raised? Right there where he lived?
Right there across over on this side of the road. And they've got a pond, they made a pond here in the last year or so when road people were right across from the house.
Yeah.
And that's where he was born and raised.
That was the old home place.
That was, he was born on his old home place. Now, I can't tell you just, you see, his father was named George Leitner. You see, there was George.
But now, he was a pretty
Dick.
Good.
I think George and Jake.
He was a pretty good.
Yeah, George and Jake, I think, was the only two brothers that.
GP was a pretty good farmer.
Mm-hmm. His daddy was, too.
Oh, really?
His daddy was a good farmer, and of course, GP had to grow up to be a good one by the time he was going to school. But when GP and, oh no, I think that there's another, Ben, old man Ben riding.
Yes.
And he's the only one of the three brothers that's living. And he had a heart attack here about a month ago, I think it was.
Now he's his uncle?
And he may not be Ben Lighten alone. I'd rush him to the hospital, and at the same time while he was there, his daughter-in-law, his daughter, you know, his wife died here last year.
Yeah.
A year? Yeah, before. I know she hadn't been dead very many years. You see, when Furnace called him in, they all worked together, you know. And and her mother come in. They got supper and everything. It was pretty early in the evening, like people generally have the meals early. I reckon since I've been sick, we've been having ours a little earlier than usual. But anyway, her and I reckon Bernice, had done their day's work and what they were doing. And they got supper and everything ready on the table. And so Bernice says, you all go ahead, eat if you want. I don't feel like I want any supper. Not now, anyway. Went in there and they found her on the bed. Says, I think I'll lay down and rest for a little bit. So I supper and I get hip with the work. And well, they had the earth big enough to work in the kitchen, but I think at that time they were going to school, and that's a bunch you're going to learn them lessons for you. Have any other pleasures or not?
Oh.
That's the Lightner hammer.
Oh, they believe in learning the lessons.
And all of their children now, I think it's all of their grandchildren. But anyways, I was going to say, that's the three brothers, and I don't know of any sisters, but this, I've heard Jake speak of his aunts, you know, on his father's side. But they were all over. I never did meet any of them. And they said, Miss Lightner, when they went in there, they said, Mr. Jim Lightner, her husband, went in there and asked her what was the matter. She didn't feel like eating no supper. And it seems if she didn't make him any answer, you know, mumbled something. And so they got her in the car and carried her to the hospital, and I think she was dead before they got there with her. Mm-hmm. Now, I think that was Lawrence's aunt on his father's side. His Uncle Ben, I said Jim, but it was Ben.
Ben.
His Uncle Ben Lightner's wife.
Yeah.
On his father's side.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, those people over there, they said they were Uncle Ben and...
Of course, I didn't know much about the Lightner. I don't know much about old man Jake Lightner. And he got killed in McIntosh. Girl, well, about killed her little daughter.
Well, you don't know about them like you do the old community there, like old man Toby Anderson and all of them.
I ain't know much about old man Toby Anderson. I just tell you what I heard about him.
You know what?
I doubt if I seen that old man a dozen times, all the time that I lived around there.
Oh, really?
He never went anywhere. Only one. Sometimes go to town or anything, probably go. But I don't know any more than just what I heard other people tell about.
Yeah. Well, now that was some experience they had that night out there. When he's out there in the moonlight with a little corn.
Why not though? Woo! I'm gonna get this big green.
luring them pigs into following him. No, sir, I won't forget that. That was scared
him, and he scared them.
Yeah.
But anyway, now that's what I've heard others tell about him and the way he done.
Yeah.
And they didn't have but three children, I don't think. Two boys and one girl.
Yeah.
Bill's living on the old place. But he tore the old house down and everything down. You can build a big house.
All new. Yeah.
And he's got all the land, I reckon. I don't know whether he's bought Rosalie Yonge's part. Old man Jess Yonge married his sister after her husband died. She was mixing.
Yeah.
And his brother Andrew in Jacksonville. He's a great sign painter. He makes his living by painting, sign paintings and things.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether Bill has bought both the other two's claim in or not.
And you never saw the old man Toby a dozen times?
I doubt if I've seen him a dozen times.
You just know what you heard all the others talking about. Well, now you knew old man Rhett. You saw him
a few times,
but not too much. You still see him?
Well, if I was to go to church, I might see him in church now. And if anything goes wrong over there with his cows and our cows and Buddy Stevenson's cows, and it's always call on us to find out. Because our bull's bothering him.
Yeah.
But he's built a fence, and Frankie's built a fence, and Frankie's keeping his fence up. Buddy Stevenson. Mm-hmm. He's a night officer. He goes to Ocala. You can hear him, generally hear him whenever he leaves back. 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, going to work.
Yeah.
His shift down in the police.
Oh, yeah.
Part.
Yeah.
Everybody most knows calls him Sidney. But he's Sidney Jr., but his father and mother call him Buddy. And I've known him ever since he was little.
Yeah.
There's another one of the fellas I've known. And he won't help Frankie keep up that fence between him and Frankie. His bull gets there and they'll fight, tear up the fence. And if they get in Frankie's side, by then they go rambling and rumbling around. Of course, Rhett's got a fence back from Frankie's. And next thing you know, he's either tore out Frankie's fence, get over there to Rhett's cows, and well, his fence were called up night before last, or day before yesterday evening, rather. And Betty Ann answered the phone. She says, "Yes, ma'am." When she answers, no one says, "But it's Betty Ann." Said something about the cow, tell Frankie she thought his bull was over there in the side of that pasture. But answered, don't think it's Uncle Frankie. Says it may be Buddy Stevenson. Says, but it may be Buddy. Says, but I don't think it's Uncle Frank, because Uncle Frankie's up there been working on the fence. The first says, no, says he ain't working on the fence. Says he's building them a new fence through. Says, and I think he would know if the bull was in or out.
Now that's Betty Ann talking to her.
Betty Ann talking
to her. Well, she's learning how to talk, isn't she?
Because now I'm most sure Uncle Frank is bulled up there in the theater, or he'd have done found out he wasn't in there. He's been working in the off and on all day, all the evening anyway.
Yeah. And it wasn't his.
It must not have been his, because Frank come in and said it was up there in the theater.
Yeah.
So they bit in, sat back and right and looked at her mom and dad. And said, well, you oughtn't to talk so sure of anything, Betty. Says, well, now, Daddy, says, I think Uncle Frank is bulled up there in the theater. Well, where he says he may not see him, says he knows he's in there, though.
Yeah.
Going to find out. I guess it was Buddy's. So, and Buddy, and he's built his loading pen when he wants to haul in the yards or bring them in and unload them. Right, you might say, up against Frankie's new fence he's put up. Yeah, that's where he is.
Right against the fence.
I don't think the cows can get in between the loading chute and the fence unless they break through it. Move just half close, but it must be up pretty close, because if you can get the cows in, if you drove them up, they'd run right on through.
Yeah.
And Buddy ain't much of a neighbor. Course he don't bother us, but I reckon if our cows got over there amongst his, he'd have some complaints.
He just...
Now, if I wasn't as old as I am, I'd go on to him and I'd tell him, now listen here. Frankie has set back. He's put a good, strong barbed wire fence and plenty of posts here between you all. And if you don't like it, you put your fence a little further back and it'll be your fence and it'll be Frankie's fence.
Yeah.
No, you waiting for Frankie to keep the fence up. Your bull, get up there, make his fight, tear up the fence, tear it down, get in there amongst our cows, our bull get over there amongst your cows. You don't like it. And they were not. If I wasn't as old as I am, and in the condition I'm in, I'd just stand there with a big pad of paper and I'd write in the whole history of his life ever since I've known him.
Richard, did you ever have to get after any of these people that worked for you or anything? Back when you was pretty active?
No, not unless I thought they was taking something they shouldn't take without asking for it. But I'd go at them in a good way.
Yeah. You never had to just be sort of rough with them.
I didn't kind of vex the colored woman there one time. I told her, Sue, yes. I said, where's so-and-so? I don't know, Miss Pearly, I declare. I said, look out now, Sue. I said, you're not taking my silverware and carrying it over there to Elephant, are you? No, Miss Pearly, what I won't do that for? Because she knows you know where that silverware stays. And she knows, you know, Uncle Martin had two sets of silverware that wasn't used only on special occasions. Yes. I said, well, where is it gone? I declare, Miss Pearly, I don't know nothing about that. I said, well, somebody's got it. I said, you're the only one outside of me who knows where we keep that silverware. Boy, am I rude. And she said, I saw Miss Pearly. I ain't carried none of it over there. I said, well, any time when Miss Fence over here, I said, have you noticed her pondering around in anything? She said, well, one time some cellar went in there, was hunting something. I said, what was she hunting? She was on the spoon to eat some of that pie we had for dinner. She didn't eat any of it, and she wanted some. I said, well, I'm going to make it my business to have another place for this silverware to stay. I says, even you ain't going to know where it's at. Yeah. Now, Miss Pearly, putting some special company, Mr. Chidges, was now this Fourth Mountain Bank. So I told him Martin Bank, he went on to Mr. Susan, said, now you don't be toting that silverware off of that elf. And then it got down to where the silverware I had, it was all right, you know, but I wouldn't tear it off to dinners like we'd have Fifth Sunday meetings down at the church, you know, political dinners down there, cook dinners, kissing. And cemetery workings. Way back then, way after Martin died, we had cemetery workings, and the families all come and bring dinner, you know. Well, somehow or another, a lot of my big spoons, forks, and little spoons would get into the box, you know, where we'd carry lunch. And I'd get home and go clean up and clean up. I said, Sue, always take a long trip with children, you know. Yeah, I said, ain't none of my silverware hardly in here. I said, Miss Ella come around picking out the silver. I don't know, Miss Pray. I wasn't watching that. That's what I told you to watch. I said, now here's three big spoons gone, three forks, and three little spoons.
All at one time?
All at one time. So when she walked over to Miss Fence one day, I said, she said, Ella? Yes, Sue, what is it? Says, these here spoons is Miss Pearly's spoons. Says, you got them off over here, Mr. Martin's. Well, Mr. Martin said, but he's gone. Said, now, is that the way you going to do that, white woman? Said, don't you know good and well that everything in that house was turned over to them at his death? Says, what you was to get was called out.
Yeah.
See, I was right there when it was all done, too. And I know Charlie Gray was about to give Miss Pearly's feather beds away. The boy says, she ready? And she says, now listen here. Says, there's no feather beds mentioned on that list of stuff that was to be given to the outside heirs. And you leave feather beds alone, they're mine. I said, at least they belong to my brother and youngest sister. Papa sent them up to me to take care of, you know. Of course, I was trying.
Well, now, what did they have when Uncle Martin died? Did you all get together and work it out?
Well, according to his will, we got the place and the furniture. And other things, there were some things that he wanted Miss Fent to have, but he raised her from a child.
Oh, he raised Miss Fent.
And her father and mother was living, but they died, put her through school. Gave her a good college education. Okay. Sent her way off in some state. And she'd come home on vacation. But she'd have to go right back because we'd be so far away, so she'd have to. He'd always send her money to come home on. Now that's what he told us, and I believe what he told us was true, because I don't think
that was Uncle Martin?
don't think he ever told a lie unless it just happened to be that he didn't know any better.
Yeah.
But anyway, the way things was done, different ones from up in Jacksonville, they come down and want this, want that, want the other. But your name wasn't on the paper.
Oh, you had the paper to go by.
Ben Charlie and Lonnie Edwards, little Lonnie's father. And some of them, Ken Charlie, and I think Mr. Edwards, and I think there was another man there. It's like Mr. Fant told him, says, well, I tell you, says, Ella's got a home, a good home. Says, she's got all the land that her and the children will ever need if I happen to pass out before they do. Then as for the land, says, there ain't no fear to worry about. Well, and somebody else did something about the land. And Cousin Charlie spoke up and says, well, the land by right is Frank's and his wife's and children's, because Uncle Martin's got papers to show that Frank cheated his nephew. Just taking care of him. And the amount of land is his. So, Russell, all right, then. And you see this, I don't know whether you noticed it or not, just before you get to Monroe's, on the left-hand side of the road up there, they've been cutting and cleaning out in there. Well, that was, and I forgot how many acres was there, but Uncle Martin was going to go right after Christmas and make a deed to my Martin, because it was his namesake. He was going to deed all that, I don't know how many acres it was now, to Martin. But he died on the 26th. Of December, day after Christmas, and they were going to go the following Monday. And they were going to go back, way back in December, but he had a spell with his back bothering him, and of course that knocked it down. And then there was a little corner cut off over John and Rick Dantzler back in there, and this piece of land that he was going to give Martin. And then the rest of it come on down, and John, the old man, Furman Smoke at that time. Smoke owned that place where Stevenson's living now. And all this on the side we live on, back up in a kind of a little V-like shape with the road where the road runs. See, if that road that's there now, main highway there now, had to come up on the section line back of us, that would have thrown all of our land all in one piece.
Yeah.
But it's just now, it's what it is. And I guess that's where to stay. And he just runs right out, takes in the end of that sink down the right hand side of the road going down.
Ella Fant. And she had all the property that she needed. so she of land at all. So, and Uncle Martin has educated the girl.
Get her home, put her through school, and she's a woman that when her mother died, she was buried. Then I reckon in Flemington Cemetery, and then when her father died, her stepmother buried him in another place. So Ella went to the law and got permission to have her father taken up and put by her mother.
Yeah.
So Uncle Martin had to put a little money out there too.
Oh yeah. Now, that's curious, isn't it? Her mama, her parents were alive, living, but Uncle Martin brought her up.
Well, I think her mother died quite a bit before her father did, you see, and
oh.
Uncle Martin taking a little finished educating him.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And after the, it seems that Ella thought she just, well, she's like Cousin Annie Joe, Uncle Martin's daughter. Said Ella thought she just owned everything Pa had.
Yeah.
Just because he raised her and gave her a good education, which he wasn't able to do for his own children.
Oh.
See, he had Cousin Annie and Cousin Jimmy was by his first wife. Well, he had to go in service while they were still small children. Well, their people, grandparents, taking care of them, you know, till Uncle Martin got out of the army. Well, no, he married another woman before he went in the army. But children were still with the grandparents and the stepmother too. Let me see, what was Uncle Martin's first last name? Caroline. He married Caroline Kirkley, and he had these two children, a boy and a girl. Jimmy and Annie. Well, she died, and he went on for several years before he married again. And her name was Virginia Hale, I think. And while he was in service, she was having back trouble. And they'd made her a pallet down in front of the fireplace so she'd keep warm, you know.
Oh, yes.
And fire coal somehow or another popped out on. I guess she must have been turned one way she didn't see it. And it caused, well, she burned, but she didn't burn up. And it caused her to scream and holler or something. But she died from the burn.
Oh.
Well, then he didn't marry any more then, so years and years after he come to Florida, he married Sandy Matthews, his daughter's brother's sister. Not Matthew, yeah, Matthew. Well, she had two children. He had two children by her, Johnny and Minnie, but the little girl died. Johnny lived on. And later years, when he got old enough to marry, he married Zetta Bushel.
Well,
he died, And then she married.
Whatever happened to Ella Fannin? Did she live right there? Was she one of your neighbors?
Well, she lived 3 or 4 miles.
Oh, that far?
Straight across Flemington down there.
So you didn't see much of her?
Well, we visited quite a bit, but as my silverware would disappear at different places, I got to where I didn't care whether I went over there or not, because I know I'd see it. And
yeah.
And so one day we had a dinner. I told Sue, and I said, it's a bad thing to do. I said, but I am not putting the first piece of silverware in there. I says, now I want you to watch and see who all plunders around my food and my dishes after we're through eating. This man was pretty hollow. So she ran. I was a soon, so and so and so and so. I tell myself, I don't know. I tell you one thing, though. So I mentioned it to Miss Pearl after, Miss Chitty, after we got here. I said, I don't remember you putting any silverware in. And she knew that I had told her I wasn't kidding. So I guess she was asking about that silverware. I've got a few pieces of it. I think I've got four big spoons and four forks, and they're different set.
Yeah.
And I've got maybe 6 knives, but
yeah.
I don't think they're. I think they're kind of so many to one and the other.
And that's all you got left from all that.
And one little plain teaspoon. That's all I've got left of Uncle Martin's silver.
How did Uncle Martin get his start, Miss Chitty? He was pretty well to do when he come down here.
I don't know. He's owned two. Well, he owned a place before he got that one that he died on. And I couldn't tell you much of his life.
Because when you knew him, he was sort of old, wasn't he?
Yes, sir, he was way up in his 70s.
Yeah.
You know, like 14 days, I think it would have been 90 when he died.
Think of that. And then you knew him the last 10 years of life?
The last of his life.
Yeah.
We come up in 15. I knew him up to
23, 22. Yeah. Did he send for you all?
We wrote Frank. Frank come up. Looked, as you were saying, he looked the place over.
Yeah.
Decided what he wanted to do.
Now, he didn't have too much land here.
Who? All of them?
Uh-huh.
No, he had something, I reckon, you'd say before he sold John Ben, a colored fella, 17 acres, I think, back in that cone back there.
Yeah.
100 and something.
Yeah.
But he had sold Mr. Smoke that was joining down the other side. a few acres. And one time, my own mom night coach, Rick Dantzler's living on part of the land that Uncle Martin owned years ago.
Yeah.
Because he had his daughter, where his son Jimmy, he had given him so many acres. And then, instead of giving his son Johnny Widder the money, I mean the land, he gave her the value of what the land would bring or be at that time in money.
Yeah.
Because she wasn't satisfied after her husband died. She went off to Jacksonville, I believe, married a fella by the name of Wilson. And of course, Reggie, Chad, and George were the only three children she had by Johnny Chee. When she married Wilson, she had one child by him.
Well, it looks like the eating is a little closer than it was, I'm glad to say.
Yeah.
Miss, you know one thing, Miss, of course, people owned a lot of land back in those days, but, you know, you didn't have to own a lot of land.
And he also gave his daughter Annie, Joe Matthews' wife, he gave her money for her part. And it just left him with what he had.
Yeah. Well, now that's the reason that you.
But that piece that he was going to fix a deed to Martin, it's still, of course, the land's still there, but it's went through so many hands. Drew Matthews of Jacksonville had it in his hand.
Yeah.
And I think he turned it over to.
We better go out and get the land, haven't we?
Yeah, Mark was going by and sent us a weaver.
Oh, that's nice.
And
he ought to come in.
His daughter, his granddaughter-in-law, Florrie, she sells it to L.K. Edwards, Jr.
Yeah.
Sent it to you, know.
Miss Kitty, we better go out and stretch her and get a little breather, hadn't we, before we eat?
Yeah.
See what the cow's doing.
They might butt me.
Yeah.
I want a little water, Miss Myers,
right,
to wrench out my mouth.
I left my hat in there.
I will give you some.
Just plain water be all right.
Oh,
well. My knees is getting to where they don't want to let me get up.
Next thing
will
be all right.
My
cat.